Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, that's where we're going to be in God's Word this morning. And we are just a few days away. As a matter of fact, we are 4 days away from Christmas Day, celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you'll remember, a long time ago, it seems like, but actually just a few months ago when we began this journey in the Gospel of Luke, we read the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be reading from that tonight, right here in our candlelight service. Jesus is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel. You know what that means? It means God with us, and I love that. In Luke chapter 7, as Jesus raised the widow's dead son, if you'll remember that, way back in Luke chapter 7, he raised the widow's son, and the people said this. This is what they said. God has come to help his people. Don't you love that? Right? Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. But it's more than just a title. It's more than just a name. Jesus came to do the work of God because he was God in flesh. And so the people said, God has come to us. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, when he was teaching his disciples, here's what he said. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have now been given to you. And so there was no mystery to it. Jesus was unrolling and he was showing and telling his disciples all about the kingdom of God. Over and over again, when you look at Jesus preaching in the temple, in the streets, when you look at Jesus teaching his disciples and his followers, over and over again, he uses this term, the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. I love in Matthew's account, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a treasure. That's what he said. It's like a treasure. And he told his disciples that they actually possessed that treasure. When Jesus sent out the 72 in Luke chapter 10, he actually told them several times he said this to them, the kingdom of God has now come near you. And then finally, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus said very plainly to his disciples, the kingdom of God is upon you. And so here's the thing. The kingdom of God, it came to us in the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God came to earth. The kingdom of God was not only near, the kingdom of God was here. And you want to know why? Because the king was here. And where the king is, his kingdom is. And so I want you to see this today. You know, I could very easily go back and reread Luke chapter 2 to you this morning and say, well, that was our Christmas message. But I want you to see the entire picture of Christmas, not just one night or one week. Like we celebrate it one day. I want you to see the entirety of what Christmas really is. And so the birth of Jesus was not simply about a baby being born. The birth of Jesus is about a king ushering in his kingdom. That's what Christmas is really all about. I love Dr. Tony Evans, and you hear me quote him all the time. He has a series of books about the kingdom of God, kingdom man, kingdom disciples, kingdom agenda. And in his book, Kingdom Man, I love what Dr. Tony Evans says about the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God is the authoritative execution of God's comprehensive rule in all of creation. He goes on to say this in that same book, Kingdom Man. He says, the kingdom of God is both now and not yet. I love that. It's both now and not yet. In other words, we've seen a piece of it. We've seen a picture of it, but we have not seen the full expression of it yet. It's both now and not yet. It's both close by and removed. He says a kingdom disciple is one who visibly demonstrates the comprehensive rule of God through the lordship of Jesus in every area of life. It's much like Brother Andy said right before we sang that song, Holy Night, or Silent Night, right? It's not just celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's not just celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's actually surrendering to the king who ushered in his kingdom And taking that celebration and applying it to our lives so that we actually share the message. And we point to Jesus Christ. You see, that's what the kingdom of God is all about. Now, the Pharisees, in this passage of Scripture, they're there too. Okay? It seemed like wherever Jesus was, the Pharisees were watching him. I think that's what Luke says a lot, right? They were watching him. So the Pharisees were there, and they asked Jesus, when? When is the kingdom of God going to come? And Jesus, he gives them an answer both for right now and for eternity. And so we're going to really break this passage down, Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 37. We're going to break this passage down into three parts. And I'm actually going to piggyback. I'm going to ride off of Pastor Thabite Anyuible's commentary. He's a great pastor, and he has really, really studied the book of Luke, and he's broken it down. And he sees that there are three important groups in this passage of Scripture that we need to identify, and three important messages that Jesus has for each group when it comes to the kingdom of God. Pastor Thabite says that there are three groups. You ready? The Pharisees, the disciples, and then the world in general. And so we're going to look at how Jesus explains the kingdom of God to and for these three groups. So let's look at the Pharisees. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21 says, once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is. Why? Because the kingdom of God is in your midst. And so let's talk about this for a minute. The Pharisees wanted to know when the kingdom of God was coming. Well, let's be honest. The kingdom of God had already come, and they missed it. It wasn't that they weren't looking for it, but they missed the true kingdom of God because they missed the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, the Pharisees could not see. They could not see the kingdom of God. The Pharisees have already demonstrated their unbelief and their rejection of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They have rejected Jesus Christ as God's Messiah. And so the Pharisees, what were they doing? The Pharisees were looking for the kingdom of God with fleshly eyes. They were looking for the kingdom of God with the physical eye. And that's why they missed it. That's why they asked Jesus, when is this kingdom coming? This kingdom that you keep preaching about, this kingdom that you keep talking about, when is it going to come? You see, they were looking for God's physical kingdom on earth. You know what they were looking for? I was talking to one of my deacons this morning, and I told him, here's what they were looking for. They were looking for a political and military leader to overthrow Rome and restore Israel as the power in the world. That's what they were looking for. They were not looking for a savior of their souls. They were looking for a savior of their nation. That's what they were looking for. They were looking with physical eyes. And so Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's here. But they couldn't see it because they did not humble themselves before the king. They couldn't see it because they had not yet received the king of the kingdom. And that's pretty important. Because if we're not careful, we try to make God out to be who we think he is or who we think he should be. We try to twist and turn the word of God to fit our agenda, to fit our lives. I'm going to just tell you something. That's a false god. That's what nations all around were doing. They were lifting up and making idols and raising up their own gods, gods that they created, gods that fit their plan and their agenda. Again, I love what Dr. Tony Evans says, not in kingdom man, but in kingdom values. Listen to what Dr. Tony Evans says in kingdom values. He said, people don't reject the word of God because it contradicts itself. People reject the word of God because it contradicts them. That stings a little bit, don't it? Because we got people all in this world that says, well, God loves everybody, and God would never send anybody to hell. God will accept you just like you are. God will accept you in your sinful condition. You can keep on being who you think you can be because God would never do anything. Let me just tell you something. God hates sin. He hates sin, and God has defined what sin is. Me and you don't do that. We don't define sin. We don't say, well, this is what that means, or this is. No, God says this is sin, and sin must be punished. There is a heaven and a hell, I'm telling you. But I'm going to tell you something else. Anybody that goes to hell, it wasn't because God wanted them to go there. It wasn't because God sent them there. It's because they chose it. It's a choice that every individual makes. Just like choosing to believe in the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christmas is not just about a baby. Christmas is about a king. And it's about a kingdom come to earth. Pharisees couldn't get it. Pharisees couldn't see it. Even though they were looking for it, they couldn't see it. Because they had defined it and described it by their own means, and this Jesus didn't fit. So they rejected him. Which is why they couldn't see the kingdom. Then Jesus turns to his disciples in verses 22 through 25. It says, then he said to his disciples, the time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you there he is or here he is. Do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up from the sky from one end to the other. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So now, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus turns his attention to his disciples, and he's still speaking about the kingdom of God. And here's what he tells them. The disciples could not miss the kingdom of God. The disciples could not miss the kingdom of God. You want to know why? Because the disciples have already demonstrated their humility and their surrender and their belief in Jesus Christ. They have left everything and everyone to follow Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. They were not perfect. They were not perfect people. And they did not have all the answers. As a matter of fact, how many times do we see the disciples asking much of the same questions that the Pharisees asked? We see them asking questions too, but we see them asking questions with humble hearts, wanting truthful answers, right? Instead of mischievous hearts, evil hearts, wanting to watch Jesus so that they could put him down. No, the disciples, they were surrendered to Jesus. They were humble to Jesus. And so Jesus says, you can't miss it. You can't miss it. He said, be careful, though, because there's going to be those who say, look, there he is, and there he is, but you know better. You know better because I've taught you. You know better because you've listened to me. You won't miss it. See, the disciples, they were actually looking for the kingdom of God with spiritual eyes. You see the difference between the Pharisees and the disciples? They were looking for Jesus with spiritual eyes. And so Jesus, he assures them that they will know his kingdom both now and forever. And they are experiencing the kingdom of God right now on earth, but they will also see the full expression of the kingdom of God when Christ returns. He is with them now, but he came to deliver them. He came to live perfectly, to die sacrificially, and to rise gloriously and victoriously from the grave. And that is why he explains this to them. He reminds them once again. Do you remember where they were headed? Do you remember when we started Luke chapter 17? What did it say? On the way to where? Jerusalem. On the way to Jerusalem. Jesus has been teaching them, and Jesus has been showing them the kingdom of God, but he's also reminding them the kingdom of God is about the king sacrificing himself for his people. And so this is a beautiful, beautiful thing that Jesus is doing. The disciples, they could see the kingdom of God because they were humble and surrendered to the king. They couldn't miss it. The Pharisees, on the other hand, they couldn't see it. Even though they were looking for it, what was the difference? The disciples had surrendered and were spiritually in it. The Pharisees were not surrendered, and they were in unbelief because they were fleshly. And then Jesus comes to a third group, and that is the world in general. The world then, and even the world today. Watch what he says. Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 37. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day of Lot, right? The day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. Where, Lord? The disciples asked. He replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. So let's talk about the world. What was Jesus trying to teach his disciples about the coming kingdom? Not just the kingdom that was near, not just the kingdom that was here, but the kingdom come. The full expression of the kingdom. What was he trying to teach them about the world that they lived in? Well, here's what it is. The world would not expect the kingdom of God. The world would not be looking for the kingdom of God. You want to know why? Because they got caught up in the busyness of the world. And they thought the stuff in this world was the true blessings of life. And they missed that it was the presence of Almighty God who is the true blessing of life. That's what it was all about. See, this is the division, if you want to call it that. Do you remember what Jesus told his disciples? I didn't come to bring together. I came to divide. I came to divide, right, the chaff from the wheat. I came to divide believers from unbelievers. And this is the division that he's talking about. This is the difference between the surrendered believer in Jesus Christ and the unbeliever, the one who rejects Christ. This is the difference between those who have chosen the narrow path and go through the narrow gate, who is Jesus Christ, and those who have chosen the wide path and the wide gate. And where does that lead? To destruction, to death. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this passage of Scripture. I love what Dr. David Jeremiah says in his commentary. Here's what he says. He says, at the coming of Christ, all of humanity will be divided in an instant. All of humanity will be divided in an instant. Listen to me. When Christ comes again, and we can talk about the rapture of the church, or we can talk about the millennial kingdom, or we can talk about the divine judgment. But here's what it really breaks down to. When Christ comes again, believers will be with him and non-believers won't. That's what it all comes down to. There will be an absolute division. And so when Jesus is talking to his disciples and when he's teaching them about the world not expecting him and that the world is going to reject him, he's talking to his disciples about the second coming. He's talking about the judgment that is going to come. The disciples won't need someone to point them to it. They will already know it in the physical realm because they've surrendered to it in the spiritual realm. You know what faith is? What's the most basic definition of faith? It's believing even though we can't see. That's what faith is. And the disciples were practicing that faith and exercising that faith. And so Jesus says, you won't need somebody to point you to it. You're going to know because you belong to me. I am your king. And Jesus even tells them the when that the Pharisees asked about. Jesus tells them that he must first suffer and face rejection. And notice, he doesn't say anything else. People ask me all the time, Brother Jeff, what's got to happen? What's got to happen for Christ to return? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you read Luke chapter 17, it's already happened. He said, the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected by this generation. And what does he talk about? He talks about his return. Now, we can talk about prophecies and we can talk about interpretation, but I'm just going to tell you, as a Christ follower, I'm just ready for Jesus to come back, and I'm ready. You want to know why? Because I've surrendered to him. I'm not perfect. Do I still struggle with sin in this world? I absolutely do. But I ain't going to get caught up in this game of trying to figure out what prophecies have been fulfilled and what hadn't. Here's what I know. Jesus lived, Jesus died, he rose again, and he's coming back. That's what I know. So when people say, well, what about this prophecy? Well, what about the red heifer? What about the sky? Listen to me. All I know is Jesus is coming again, and I'm ready for him. All that other stuff, if you want to buy books and you want to have debates, you go right ahead. All right? I read it too. I study the book of Revelation. I've taught the book of Revelation here. I think it's important to look at the scriptures and know the scriptures. But I also know that we can get so caught up in little details that we can't really comprehend that we miss the king. And we miss what we're supposed to be doing in this life. Celebrating the king and telling others about the king. So before you ask me, all right, because I love what Pastor R.C. Sproul said. Before you ask me, which kingdom is Jesus talking about, Brother Jeff? In this passage of scripture, is it the millennial reign? Is it the thousand-year reign on earth of Christ? Is it the divine judgment? Is it the rapture of the church? Here's what I'm going to tell you. It sure is. Pastor R.C. Sproul, who's a whole lot smarter than me, whole lot wiser than me, has studied the Bible a whole lot more than me. Pastor R.C. Sproul said, church, I'm going to disappoint you this morning. I know you want me to give you an answer, but I can't. Pastor R.C. Sproul said, I don't know. He said, but I do know the king, and I'm a part of his kingdom, so no matter what, I'm ready. So many times we want to answer, black and white, yes or no. Here's the thing, it's Jesus, and that's enough. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be a millennial reign. You want to know why I know that? Because the Bible says it is. There's going to be a divine judgment. You know why I know that? Because the Bible says it is. But Jesus tells us that if we have received him, then we have received the kingdom. And we will know the kingdom. And we will be expectant of the kingdom. And we'll be ready for the kingdom. You want to know why? Because we are covered by his blood. The blood of Christ has covered us. Most theologians agree that when Jesus tells them this, right here at the end, when the disciples say, where? Like, where is this going to happen? When you talk about one being in the bed and one being gone and one being in the field and one being gone and one grinding at the stone and one being gone, where is that going to be? And so most theologians do agree on this, right? When Jesus said where the dead body is, there will also be vultures. In that moment, he's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about judgment. So they do agree on that. But again, the point is, it's going to happen. Both the rapture and the judgment. It's going to happen. So Jesus continues to teach his disciples and followers. And I'm just going to tell you, I believe what Jesus is doing is he's preparing his followers to be ready. Much like he's preparing them to be ready for his suffering and be ready for his death, he's preparing them to be ready for his resurrection. He's preparing them to be ready for his ascension, but he's also preparing them to be ready for his return. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what Christmas is all about. You say, oh, it's about the birth. It's about the little baby. Yes, but so much more. Because that baby grows up, and that baby becomes a man, and that baby, as a man, lives a perfect life. And that man goes to the cross sacrificially to die for you and me. And that man gets put in the grave. And that man comes out of that grave. And that man returns to the right hand of the Father. And that man is returning to this earth. And so I like the whole Christmas story. I like the Christ in the Christmas. Don't you? So in Luke chapter 2, when we read that Christmas story, many during that day, they were looking forward to the birth of the Messiah, the one that had been prophesied. Some of them were expecting it. Some of them were not. And after Jesus died and rose from the grave and ascended to the Father, some were expecting his return. Do you remember the disciples? They were living in such a way, it's like he was coming back the next day. Oh, he's coming back tomorrow, guys. We got to be ready. And he didn't come back tomorrow. And they said, well, maybe it'll be next week. Let's give him 7 days. He'll be back next. And they just kept living that way. See, they expected it, but there were others that said, you know what? It's done. It's finished. Don't you know that's what the Pharisees said? We finally put that man in the grave. That man who was trying to steal our power. That man who was bad-mouthing us. That man who was telling us we weren't right and we didn't accept him. He's gone. It's over. I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't over. And it still ain't over. You hear me? It still ain't over. We haven't seen the full expression of Christmas yet. We haven't seen the full expression of the kingdom of God. And that's okay. But I'm going to tell you something. We're living in the kingdom. We're living in the kingdom because here's the truth. The king is still on his throne. And the king is still in control. Terrorists ain't in control. Nations ain't in control. I don't care what you read or where you read it from. I don't care what you watch on the TV, okay? Presidents ain't in control. Emperors ain't in control. God is in control. And the only way a king can sit on a throne on this earth is if God puts him there or allows him there. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords ain't done. Sure, he said it is finished. It is finished with what he came to do on this earth. But I'm going to tell you something. He got more coming. Read the book of Revelation. You'll see what I'm talking about. There's more coming. And so just as we look forward to celebrating Christmas, the birth of our Savior and Lord, we should be living, looking forward to our Savior's return. We should be expecting it. We should be looking forward to it, not with fear and dread and oh goodness me and oh goodness my, but even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. So for those of us who are ready, this is a time of glory. Amen? And you know what? It's going to get more glorious. It's going to get more glorious when Jesus returns. But I'm going to tell you something. For those who are not ready, there's a reason there's no joy. There's a reason there's no peace. There's a reason there's only fear and dread. Because for those who reject the king have rejected the kingdom. And for those who have rejected the king and the kingdom, if you live in that rejection and that is your final answer, it will be a day of dread. It will be a day of death. It'll be a day of the vultures eating the flesh of the dead bodies. It'll be a final death. It'll be a final separation. It'll be the difference between heaven and hell. So do you understand how serious Christmas is? Do you understand that Christmas is not just about the red and the green and the lights? Christmas is about eternity. It's about eternity. Yours, mine, and the people all around us. So if this was Jeopardy, my final answer is, let's be ready. Let's be ready for Jesus. Let's celebrate him. Let's worship him. Let's spread the gospel about him. But let's be looking forward with our heart, with our spirit for his return, because it will happen. I ain't sure about a lot of things, but I'm very sure about every word in that Bible. I am very sure. I am sold out 100% sure of every word in that Bible. You want to know why? Because God wrote it. Not a human hand, not a human man. God wrote it. The Spirit of God spoke to that heart, moved that hand to write those words. I believe it. Every word as it is written. I'm ready. Are you? I'm ready.